Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We've come now to day 144, Leviticus chapter 3, as we're continuing through these offerings that are described in detail in these opening chapters of the book of Leviticus. And again, Leviticus is the heart of what we could call the ceremonial law or the worship law, the holiness laws given for the Levitical priesthood. That's why it's called Leviticus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, which is perfect in every part and which is glorious in how it speaks to us of who you are and of who Christ is and what he's done for us and of how we are to worship you and relate to you as your covenant people in Christ. We pray that you'd speak to us today through your word and write it on our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Leviticus chapter 3. If his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, or if he offers an animal from the herd, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall throw the blood against the sides of the altar. And from the sacrifice of the peace offering, as a food offering to the Lord, he shall offer the fat covering the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering, which is on the wood on the fire. It is a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If his offering is for a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord, is an animal from the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, lay his hand on the head of his offering, and kill it in front of the tent of meeting, and Aaron's sons shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar. Then from the sacrifice of the peace offering, he shall offer as a food offering to the Lord its fat. He shall remove the whole fat tail, cut off close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, that he shall remove with the kidneys, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as a food offering to the Lord. If his offering is a goat, he shall offer it before the Lord, and lay his hand on its head, and kill it in front of the tent of meeting. And the sons of Aaron shall throw its blood on the sides of the altar. Then he shall offer from it, as his offering for a food offering to the Lord, the fat offering, the fat covering the entrails, and the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, that he shall remove with the kidneys. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering with a pleasing aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places that you eat neither fat nor blood. That is Leviticus chapter 3. And we're looking again at the English Standard Version using ESV.org. So we come to our third of the five offerings that are described for us in the opening chapters of the book of Leviticus. And this one is called the peace offering, could also be called the fellowship offering. And this third one is actually usually presented together with the two that have come before it. So here's a chart from the ESV Study Bible that lays out these five major offerings. So in chapter 1, we had the burnt offering, or the whole burnt offering, which is really an offering of atonement. And there, the entire animal would be consumed in the fire as a picture of atonement that is being made for the sin of the one who's coming as a worshiper. And then there's a grain offering, or sometimes a tribute offering, it could be called. And this is giving to the Lord grain, which there's a memorial portion that's burned on the fire, and then the remainder is given to the priests, and they get to eat it. So first atonement is made, and then the offering, the tribute, is given. And then there's a peace offering, which could also be called a fellowship offering, and it pictures a fellowship with the Lord. Now, this is the one offering where the worshiper himself gets to have a substantial amount of the meat back and gets to eat it. So as I said, oftentimes these three would be offered together. So a worshiper would come voluntarily. It's the other thing. These are voluntary offerings. They're not mandated under certain circumstances, which tomorrow when we get to Leviticus chapter 4, we'll see that the sin offering and the guilt offering, which could also be understood as the cleanliness offering and the reparation offering, but we'll get into those in the next couple chapters. Those are mandated to be offered in certain circumstances when certain sins or guilt have come upon either the priesthood or the leadership or the community. But here, this is a voluntary offering. So this is the kind of thing that if a worshiping family were to go to the temple, the tabernacle, they would offer this up voluntarily, and it would be ideally all three of these. A male without blemish, who would be burned up completely on the fire, and then grain, which could be either raw or cooked or baked or whatever, but there's a portion that gets burned completely, and then the rest goes to the priest. And then there's the peace or fellowship offering, in which really just the fat portions, the blood is poured out, and the fat portions are put on top of. It's interesting, they're put on top of the burnt offering, which shows us that atonement has to be made first, and then on the basis, on the foundational basis of that atonement, there is fellowship that is enjoyed. And this is fellowship that is enjoyed, because priest and people, we get to eat out of this. So this is a way of feasting before the Lord. And we can see this basic structure even in our worship service today, in that there's a time when we confess our sin, and God reassures us of his forgiveness of our sin, and then we give the offering, right? The offering to as part of worship, and then we hear God's word. And after we hear God's word, once a month we have the Lord's table, which is our fellowship with the Lord, our sharing in the Lord. But at Forest Hill, every Sunday, we have a fellowship table that's put out for us to be able to enjoy food together and enjoy. Again, we're not offering sacrifices. The once-for-all sacrifice has been offered by Jesus. But you can see this basic pattern of atonement, and then tribute or tithe or offering, and then peace, fellowship, that comes as a result of that, these three. So these three, again, would be offered voluntarily, and they'd be offered usually at the same time by the same worshipers, one right after another. And one of our clues that happens is that the fat and the entrails that are burned, they're burned on top of the burnt offering. You see that in verse 5, then Aaron's sons shall burn it on top of the burnt offering. Another interesting thing here is you could bring either a cow or a goat or some other animal, and it could be male or female. So a cow, a lamb, or a goat, and it could be male or female, because this is going to be eaten. This is not the one that's atoning for sin. When the one that's atoning for sin has to be a male and has to be without blemish. One more thing to see from this fellowship offering or peace offering is this principle that God gives, that the fat and the blood belong to the Lord. You see this in the closing verses of this chapter, verses 16 and 17. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering, a pleasing aroma. All fat is the Lord's. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places that you eat neither fat nor blood. Why is that? Why separate out the fat and the blood? Well, the blood is where the life is. The life is in the blood. And the pouring out of the blood symbolizes the pouring out of the life. And that is what is used to make atonement. It's pouring out of life unto death that makes atonement, because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall surely die. So when you lay your hand on the head of the animal and its blood is poured out, every kind of sacrifice is done that way, because it's a constant reminder of the need for atonement, for a life to be poured out to take the place of the one who has sinned. And we are always sinful whenever we come before the Lord, even in this peace offering. So that is a picture of Christ We don't drink the blood because it's got that special symbolic significance of that's where the life is and that's what it's poured out. So even in the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, they advised even Gentiles who were being converted not to drink blood with the meat because of this symbolic significance. The other thing is the fat. Now, there's nothing, we're under no obligation whatsoever to not eat fat today, because again, this is Old Testament ceremonial law, which Christ fulfilled on the cross, and which we keep when we worship through Christ, who is our prophet, priest and king, high priest and sacrifice, our atonement, our cleansing, and our holiness. All of these things are pointing us to Christ and are kept today in Christ. But why the fat? Because it's the best portion. So the principle here for us to keep today is not necessarily about not eating fat, but it's about making sure that when we're giving to God, we're giving the first and the best. Everything we have comes from God. Everything we have belongs to God. And we should be giving him the first fruits and the best. And that's, the fat belongs to God because it's the juiciest, the tastiest, the most flavorful, and it makes the sweetest aroma when it is burned on the fire, and it belongs to the Lord. So atonement belongs to the Lord, and the very best belongs to the Lord. And of course, the very best man who ever lived in the history of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the one who was from God and for God and is the firstborn over all creation. And so we should just give the best to God, right? So again, that threefold pattern, chapter one, whole burnt offering, atonement. Our sins must be forgiven before we can have peace and fellowship with God. Having our sins atoned for, we then give to God generously and willingly as a tribute, as a tithe, as a thanks, as an offering. That's that grain offering. And then we have peace, we have fellowship with God, and we get to enjoy the benefit of that. We get real nourishment from Christ and real benefit and blessing of that table fellowship that we enjoy with the Lord. That's pictured here in Leviticus 3. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this pattern that you've shown us in your word that is ultimately fulfilled by Christ, who is our atonement, who is the first fruit of the resurrection, the firstborn from the dead, who is the first and best of mankind, and who gives us access to you. He is our peace. He is our fellowship with you. We thank you for Jesus. May our worship always be in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ, rejoicing in the work that he has done, finished, fulfilled for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow we're going to move right on to Leviticus chapter 4. Hope you can join us for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.